Well, are you ready for the word tonight? Praise you, Jesus. Let me get my notes laid out here. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, of course, this is probably one of the three most famous psalms in the Word, right? This is the one that everybody quotes over and over again. But I want to go straight to verse number 10. We're on a series here of teaching on the healing power of God. We're taking our flu shots for this year, and our cold shots, and our tuberculosis shots, and our diabetes shots, and our falling and breaking of bone shots, and whatever else. In other words, we're taking scriptural inoculations that will enable us to live above sickness and disease and even pain. It says in verse 10, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." And this is a verse I have confessed for, oh my goodness, over 25 years. "There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling place." Amen. And so recognize your number one dwelling place is your physical body. You're a spirit being that lives in this house of flesh. And so you have a right to confess, no plague is going to come near my physical body as my dwelling place. Amen. You have a right to live sickness free. We talk about divine healing a lot. A lot of the church talks about divine healing. But there's a higher level of promise in divine healing. It's called divine health, where you never get sick. Are you guys here tonight? It's one thing to get healed, but it's greater to never get sick. And we can confess, no plague comes near me into our life and watch it come to pass. I have been really ramping up my confessions lately over many of the promises of God. I keep having a testimony go over and over in my mind. I've heard both Kevin Holleran and Diane Holleran give it, Pastor Chad's parents. And he talks about one day he was driving to Louisville and he confessed increase, excellence, and profitability over his carpet business 500 times. Diane said she confessed advancement or, you know, increase or profit in their carpet business one day working there 100 times. That they would track how many times they confess it. Why? They're building their faith up in it. You know, one time releases your authority, but as you keep speaking it, you keep stepping into higher and higher levels of expectancy. Amen. And so I'm ramping up my confession of love, the passage we speak over ourselves in Ephesians chapter 3 that we're rooted and grounded in love. I'm speaking all through the day now. It's time to step into it. Amen. I'm ready to move into this thing in fullness. Healing over my body through the day. In fact, I believe God's taking us as an end-time church, His end-time revivalist people, to a place where you're confessing word all the time. It's so in you. It's so part of your expectancy. You so understand your authority and the authority of the words you speak that you're always under your breath or even out loud saying, "I'm the healed. No plague comes near my dwelling place in Jesus' name. Everything I put my hand to prospers." Whatever promises, you're speaking them repeatedly over and over again. And I'm telling you, God wants to raise up a people above the effects of sickness. Amen. So your primary dwelling place is this physical body you live in. But also, I believe your dwelling place is your home. It's where you abide. You have a right to take authority over sickness visiting your house. Especially when your children are little, you have a right to cover them in prayer. To declare the devil can't touch them with sickness. Amen? Hallelujah. And so you have a right to confess healing over your family, over your household, that sickness cannot enter it. In fact, you being the one strongest in faith, potentially, then you have a right to oversee or speak over your house in a fashion, everybody receives the benefits of it. Do you understand that in a covenant group, that God will treat that group as a unit at times, and you have a right to speak into that group that you're in covenant with? The power of God. We're expecting the glory to come on His church, right? Well, there'll be some coming here that are young in the faith and some that are, you know, experienced in faith, but the glory will come upon all. In the same way, you have a right in your household. Some may be weak in faith, some may be young, but you have a right to speak healing over your entire household. Take authority over those symptoms, right? Speak a hedge about your household. But also, this is where I want to go. Our third dwelling place is our church home. Amen. This is home to me. I'm hoping it's home to you. This is where we come together as family. And we understand we are a covenant group as well. And we have a right, if you're part of this church, to say, no plague nor calamity comes near me because I'm part of this dwelling place. I'm part of this habitation. Amen. I am confessing over this church. And I'm believing for this body. Not only can the devil not kill anybody, amen, but he can't even get anybody in this church sick. And I want to see all in agreement that no plague comes, or calamity, nobody gets hurt, comes near this church. We're about to go into our 15th year. We have never lost a single member to sickness or accident. And it's not that the devil hasn't tried to kill a few of them. But he's a loser. Amen. We're winners. We're the head and not the tail. And we have a covenant promise of God. So we're learning in here how to walk above sickness. We've been discovering that when God sent Jesus to the cross, He performed more than one area of sacrifice for us. He was nailed to the cross to take the curse from us, right? To redeem us from the curse. And from that action, we were redeemed from sin. But also, we've already found out that part of the curse is sickness. Disease is part of the curse. And Jesus took the curse to redeem us, not just from sin, but also from sickness. And He went to the whipping post and took that beating just to, how can I say it, seal it with His blood. I'm not sure He had to take the beating to give us some level of victory over sickness. Because when He redeems us from the curse, sickness was in that by being nailed to the tree. But He amplified its power even greater to us, its meaning to us even greater, by letting Himself take that beating on behalf of us that we don't have to have a single hair of our head hurt. Amen. And so the redemption of the cross has purchased for us not just salvation and a heavenly promise, but also has given us the guarantee that if we'll stand on the Word, sickness and accident cannot hurt us. Praise be to God. I was watching some of the video of the terrorist attack in Paris. And the news didn't catch it, but I believe we witnessed a miracle in some of it. They showed a terrorist come up to a restaurant and there was a girl under a table. He walks up with his rifle and pulls the trigger three times. And all three times it only clicked. His gun jammed three straight times. And he got frustrated and just walked away. And she took off. I would wonder if that girl is not a Christian or is a praying grandmother somewhere that had her under covering. We won't know till we get to heaven, probably the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. But somebody was standing in the gap in that situation. And we have a right to access these blessings, that nothing by any means harm us. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. You know that everybody's not saved, that everybody's not received Jesus, to me is proof that darkness is in the earth. It's just proof of the darkness in the earth, because this word is so perfect. The prophecies haven't been fulfilled to such accuracy, are far beyond mathematical computation. And yet people still don't believe, because darkness has blinded their eyes. But we see. Amen? And I stand amazed at the complexity, yet uniformity, and accuracy of the Word of God. Isaiah 53, speaking about the cross, let's go to verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Talking about Jesus, right? A prophecy about the coming Messiah. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, hold this spot and go over to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Let's go to verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. Don't you love the power of God? I mean, she's laid up with a fever, and one touch, and she's healed. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. That's Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Do you see that? A prophecy of Isaiah that said he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now hold that spot and go back to Isaiah 53. And if we look at it here, and we look at verse 4 again, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. It doesn't say anything about sickness there. Right? I mean, Isaiah 17 says he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. But it doesn't say that in Isaiah 53 in the King James. However, if you go back to the Hebrew and look at what was actually written, it actually, the word for griefs there is sickness. Jesus didn't carry any grief, but at the cross he took our sickness. Amen? And sorrows. Now we understand at the cross, when he's nailed there, there's going to be grief and sorrow. But he was not a man of sorrow walking on the earth. He was a man of love. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. These movies that have Jesus always weeping and sorrowing and grieving and, you know, looking like he's lost his last friend all of his years of ministry are not accurate. I believe he enjoyed life. Amen. I believe he celebrated the power of God. But it says here where the word sorrows is, it's the word pains in the Hebrew. So the actual wording should be, surely he hath borne our sickness and carried our pains, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The passage in Matthew is an accurate quote of Isaiah 53. The King James, who so many people want to hang their hat on and say it's inerrant, is an inaccurate translation of Isaiah 53, verse 4. Amen. Through the cross and through that whipping, he took our sickness and he took our pain. Oh, glory to God. So if he took it, what does that mean? We don't have to receive it. We have a right to excommunicate it out of our life. We have a right to tell sickness and pain, you must go. I prayed for an individual here a few months back, actually earlier this year, that had tinnitus. Is that how you say it? I've heard it, tinnitus, ringing in the ears. And it left. At least most of it did, if not all. Well, then I was speaking to somebody last week, and they were earlier this week, and they were talking about ringing in ears, and we started joking about it. And in fact, it was at the pastor's meeting last week, and I said, I prayed for a guy that had tinnitus, and the next day it was gone. He went totally deaf. So we're talking about tinnitus. And a couple days later, I'm sitting on my couch, and all of a sudden my ears start ringing real loud. I know it was a stupid demonic attack. I'm talking about, and Patty was next to me. I said, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. Get off of me. I was trying to speak into it. And I'd been teaching you guys about being adamant, and God reminded me of the message. I got adamant. Jesus' name, this doesn't belong to me. Go now. And I didn't stop. And within, I'd say a minute, it was totally gone. Has it returned? The devil tries to see if you buy into something. And you got to say, that doesn't belong to me. Jesus took it. I don't receive it. Amen. You know, it's kind of like you go to the restaurant and, you know, your friend, you get there and your friend says, hey, dinner's on me tonight. And so you say, fine, that's fine. And so you go to the checkout and he grabs your bill. He pays both bills. And you're going out the door and the manager grabs you and says, hey, you didn't pay your bill. And you're going to say, yeah, he paid it for me. Yeah, but you got to pay me too. No, no, no. You don't get paid twice. He already paid that bill. And I don't have to pay with pain and sickness and discomfort for what Jesus already paid for. Amen. In fact, to receive it is to say he didn't do a good enough job. And we've been talking about getting adamant about refusing these symptoms. He bore our sickness and disease. Now, this is the same passage. Look at verse 5, Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, here we go again. Verse 4 is about healing, isn't it? The end of verse 5 is about healing. With his stripes we were healed. Or we are healed. It's we are healed in here, and it's we were healed in 1 Peter 2:24, right? But sandwiched between this passage that lets us know we are healed, we find that he also took our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, because he took our sin upon himself, we now have peace with God. Oh, glory to God. We have a right to walk in right standing with God. Have peace with God. No more enmity between us and our Lord. We have total right to perfect communion. Why? Because he took our sin. But sandwiched around this promise is he also took our sickness. I just had an image. I'm going to share it. It may make no sense whatsoever. But you know the sandwich cookies like an Oreo? Well, the cream in the middle is salvation. Right? But sandwiched around salvation, God put healing. And he wants you to have the whole cookie. Patty, my wife, she defiles Oreos. She crunches them up in milk and makes an Oreo slurry. Amen. And she loves it. I'm not going any further with that one other than to say, I've never seen her just open the cookies and scrape off the cream filling into the milk. Amen. In fact, as a kid, we would open the sandwich cookies and we'd eat the icing and then we'd eat the cookie. But I never threw the cookie away. I ate the cookie too, right? And to only expect Salvation in our package is to open up the cookie. It takes some effort to ignore healing in the Word. Open up the cookie, eat the icing, and throw the rest of the cookie away. And many would say that regarding Oreos, the outside's better than the inside. Amen. God wants to have the whole cookie. Did you follow that example? I just saw it as I was preaching there. I wanted you to receive the benefit of that image. Eat the whole cookie. And so, it's already paid for. Amen? It's like people say, well, I believe in salvation, but I don't believe in that healing stuff. That means I believe in icing, but I don't believe in the rest of the cookie. Amen? Who would buy a pack of cookie icing and eat it? Ugh. It's got to have the cookie with it. Amen. And God wants you to have the entire package. Isaiah 58. Well, we need to start at verse 6 just to get the flow. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? God wants you to, He wants the yokes broken off of your life. He's letting us know sometimes fasting will help accelerate that effect. In fact, you want fleshly bonds to break off your life? Fast. Stuff will fall off you like, you know, water off a duck's back. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, and thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Here we see God says your righteousness is going to spring forth speedily. Amen. Glory is going to come forth as well. Righteousness deals with your salvation. When you give your life to Jesus, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus, and you're made the righteousness of God in Him. Right? We know the glory comes out of that. That righteousness represents your love nature on the inside. And the glory is manifested, tangible love on the outside. But right in this passage about dealing with your sin and bringing forth the glory, God says in your health is going to spring forth as well. The revivalist church, the end time remnant bride, will be known for the healing that she walks in. Not only that she walks whole, but that she deals healing to those she comes in contact with. Everywhere Jesus went, He healed. We read a few cases in Scripture where He prospered people. Remember the woman with the two mites? He was known to give some to the poor, but we read very little about Jesus filling people's bank accounts. But we know the Scriptures promise that to us, to the sower, right? But we see the sign He gave as an indication that He was representing the kingdom of God. The number one sign He gave was that He healed everywhere He went. And do you think there's any possibility God's going to raise up a sick, hacking, coughing, broke down, on pain pills, medicated to their, you know, to the utmost bride in the end times? I'm going to try to paint a picture for you. I'm hoping you can follow me. I'm talking about God's going to raise up everybody in this church, everybody in the end times, that you never know sickness again. And right now some are saying, well, that sounds wonderful, but I can't imagine that. I've got so much pain in my body. I've been through so much. I guess maybe I'm just not qualified to be part of this church, or, you know, you know, it just won't work for me. No, he's going to do it with the whole church. And you may feel unqualified. Amen? But God's raising up intercessors. He's releasing a word that's going to cause a covering to be over the church. That all you got to do is step into it and agree with it, and you're going to watch it manifest. Because I know what the devil does. He says, well, Pastor Jack, you get to pray all the time. You're in the Word all the time. Of course, you can step into divine healing, but I don't have time for all of that. That's why I get to pray over you. That's why I get to release gifts to you. That's where there's a hedge. There's intercessors praying over this church. There's a hedge about this place. If you just get in agreement with it and do your part, watch what God does. Because He's bringing a release from heaven. As we trust Him for the glory that sickness cannot abide in. All you got to do is stay in position doing your role. And watch things fall off of you. There are some things you may have been fighting for years. And the devil said, you'll never get free of that. You'll never get free of those pains. You'll never get free of those allergies. You'll never get free of those, you know, injuries or infirmities. And tonight I want to change your mind and get you to thinking, yes, I am free. He took it. I don't have to carry it. And no matter how long the pain stay with you, keep in mind you have a right to be free. And you're going to do your part. Speak the word. There are things I've spoken over my body for sometimes for years that it took me to get free of. I don't know about years. At least a year. Migraines took me years of battle. First time God healed my teeth, a year and a half I confessed over those teeth. And woke up one morning, they were all back in place and solid. Miracle. But I had to stand the ground. And the devil screaming the whole time, it'll never happen. Just keep doing what you know to do. And listen, time is on your side, not the devil's. He's the one running out of time. Again, I point back to that testimony of Bobby Jean's. I think it was over 20 years she spoke over eyesight, got up one day and had perfect vision. When other people's vision is fading, she wakes up with 20/20 vision. In fact, I think it was more like 20/15 and didn't need any reading assistance whatsoever. Again, we go back to probably everybody here has seen every episode of Andy Griffith ever made. Multiple times. What if you let down one set of those reruns go and instead confessed the healing power of God into your life? Amen? And watch what happens in the future. We have today because of what we confessed yesterday. We'll have tomorrow what we confess today. Understand yesterday, today being a period of time. Start now. Declare what the Word says. And don't get condemned. Just keep speaking. Amen. Some people are honoring enough, they better get in agreement with the Word of God to help them along the way. Time's going to pass regardless of what you speak. Why not get your voice in agreement with the Word to have what God said in the future? Amen. Again, a lot of what I bring out in these messages is what comes to me as I'm speaking. You follow me? And this just dropped in me. You guys know who Clark Gable is? One of the most famous actors of all time, Gone with the Wind, you know, Franklin, My Dear Scarlet. Toward the end of his life, he'd won every acting award you could think of, you know, considered the greatest leading man of history in his day, if not ever. And they asked him if he had any regrets in life. And he, and I may get this a little bit wrong, but it's in this area. He said, yes, when I was a young man, God called me to preach. I told him, no, I want to act. He said, I regret that. Everything he accomplished in life. Of course, he died at like 59. 59 or 60, something like that, you know, wore out man, turned his back on God, won the awards, but died young, and we don't know where he's at. Amen. Time's going to pass. Why not get in agreement with what God's doing? Amen. The devil, he'll give you every effort to sell out your calling and your promises. Don't agree with him. You still with me? Malachi chapter 4. I'm just so glad that the God I was taught when I was first saved is not the real God. At least the type of God I was taught. When I was first saved, they told me God was this God. It was God dancing people around like puppets. You know, that he was sovereign. He did what he wanted to do. That's what I was taught when I was first saved. And that he was putting sickness on you to teach you lessons and keeping you broke to keep you humble. And he was just this harsh God. And his ways were too high to be known. And, you know, yes, he gave us rights to pray, but you never could really hear God and expect God to move in your life in any great fashion. And that's what I was taught. I'm so glad that's not who God is. That he's a loving God and given us all these exceeding great and precious promises. And we can walk in victory. The greatest revelation I ever received in Christianity is I didn't have to lose anymore. I remember when I found out that faith let me win. Right? John 5:4, 1 John 5:4, for this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That through faith I could access the power of God in every situation and I don't have to lose. In fact, I found it losing as a result of deciding not to win. That was pretty good. For the Christian, losing as a result of deciding not to do what's necessary to win. And I don't like to lose. Especially, you know, to that stupid devil. And so we can win over all sickness. Malachi 4, have you got it? Verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son, S-U-N of righteousness. S-U-N of righteousness refers to the revelation of righteousness, right? And the S-O-N who brought us righteousness. He's the S-O-N and he's the S-U-N. And righteousness is a revelation of who we now are. The greatest revelation I ever received as a Christian was I didn't have to lose anymore. The second greatest revelation I ever received was I was now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and I was no longer a sinner. And I'd been saved for 10 years before I found that out. Really more like 11. I'd been served. I was in ministry before I really found that out. I knew the Word said I was a new creation. Amen. But I thought it was more like I was becoming one as I stayed in the Word and I was being transformed. I realized I was already a new creation through the cross. And I was righteous internally already. I knew my sins had been washed away, but even though my sins were washed away, I never viewed myself as being righteous before God. And when I found that out, everything in my life shifted regarding faith. All of a sudden, I knew I had rights, not based on my performance, not based on my level of seeking Him, but I had rights based on my level of faith I would develop. Well, I had rights regardless of that, but I could access them by faith. Amen. I was a new creation made righteous through the cross. And when I discovered that, my faith soared at a whole higher level. And here it says, the Son, S-U-N, the revelation of righteousness, who you are, will arise with healing in His wings. Healing in His wings. See, as I'm preaching, I keep seeing images. Right now, we've got several countries bombing the fire out of ISIS locations. And these planes, bombers are flying over these locations and dropping these bombs, causing havoc in these enemy, you know, fortifications, hopefully. Well, that plane arose with bombs under its wings. There's an image I've seen on Facebook, a short video clip of, I don't know if it's a C-130, some military plane, large plane, that has in it a missile defense system. You may have seen it. And when they trip it, all these flares start shooting out from all around the plane under the wings. I mean, dozens of these flares shooting at every which direction. Maybe even a couple hundred, I don't know. All to distract heat-seeking missiles from around. And that's its defense system. And you talk about an impressive display. Has anybody seen that? It's got flares under its wings. Well, God arises with the revelation of righteousness, carrying healing under His wings. So when He's rising up with His revelation of righteousness, going to soar as this plane or this eagle, He's carrying healing to drop upon us. We are not going to step into the glory, which is really the righteousness of God overflowing, the love of God, the righteousness of God overflowing. We're not going to experience it without healing manifesting at the highest levels ever known to man. We brought this out before. When Israel was delivered from Egypt, remember Moses? It says there was not a feeble one among them, or a broke one. They were all wealthy, and a nation of 2 million people was healed instantly through the Passover. Healing of an entire nation, 2 million people. That's half the population of Kentucky healed all at one time. Let's just draw a line through Louisville, and everything from Louisville East is automatically healed. There's not a sick person in the rest of Kentucky. That's a major miracle. And God said He's going to do in the end times greater than He did through Moses. There won't be, I believe in the regions He gives us authority over, there won't be a sick person in the group. Should we go crazy with this morning or tonight? I don't believe in these end times. There'll be any insane asylums left, because the glory of God is going to empty them all out. Won't be any need for hospitals, because the power of God is going to heal everybody. We'll just have an urgent treatment center that's be full of intercessors. Just pass through, get hands laid on you, boom, going back out, you're healed. I don't know if it'd be exactly like that, but you follow what I'm getting at. God's going to heal regions. And you think He's not going to heal you? You're going to be a carrier of this power. And the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Don't whether you can't believe for it now. Start just speaking it. Faith will come. Speak it whether you fully comprehend it or not, or think you know, have it or not. Speak it and watch faith arise. There will be nobody sick in this church as we proceed into this thing. Amen. I mean, that same Psalm 91 that says no plague come near your dwelling says He gives His angels charge over you to bear you up in all your ways lest you dash your foot against a stone. You can't even get hurt. You got to stub your little toe at home on the coffee table and an angel moves the table out of the way for you. He is so good. when my daughter Amy was little. I think she was about 3. She came running into me. I was sitting on the couch. Her coffee table was by the front of the couch, big coffee table. She came running, and just before she got to the table, she tripped. I've told this story many times. And she tripped and went wham, and her head whipped down on the table. I mean, and I knew she was hurt bad. And she wasn't knocked out. She was screaming, and I picked her up, and this temple right here was totally crushed in and already black. Already black. Turned, I mean, just boom. Hematoma, whatever. I mean, it was crushed. I show Pat. I don't think God let her see it. I don't know if she could have handled it. I showed her, and I said, we got to get to the hospital. I said, you drive. It was nighttime. I'll sit in the back of the van. I'll pray for her. So I did. I laid my hands on her, prayed for her, tongues all over the hospital, commanding, healing her body. This would have been 1989 or 90, probably 90. And we get to the hospital all in the dark, carry her inside. By then, she's calmed down on the trip. Carry her inside. I take my hand off. There's not even a mark. There's not a red mark. There's nothing. And Amy's having a good time. We take her and have her checked anyway. She's standing at a gurney telling the nurse about she saw Peter Pan and all of it. And they're looking at us like, are you guys crazy? Why did you bring this kid in here? But God, I mean, it's, our household is covered. Speak the word and let God do what he does. Are you getting anything out of this tonight? James chapter 5. And let's go to verse number 14. It says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, we've been on this one in the past, haven't we? It doesn't say that the pastor should track you down. You shouldn't be getting offended if, you know, nobody came to visit you if you didn't call anybody. Amen. And also, unless you're so sick you can't move, get to church. Amen. I didn't feel like coming. I felt too bad. Then get to church. We can pray for you. Because when you'll make that effort to move, that's a faith move. That's connecting your faith to the promise. Get in and let us pray for you. Watch what God does. Now, if you can't get out of bed, if you can't get to church, call for us. We'll come and visit you. Amen. But the responsibility is upon the one sick to access the healing. Jesus almost never went and hunted down sick people. They sought him out. The one with the issue of blood went through the press to touch him. Amen. Because faith places demands on the anointing. It doesn't place demands on people to bring the anointing. Amen. Well, if you'd have heard God, if you knew the voice of God, you'd have known I was sick and come and prayed. Not what the word says. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he've committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now this is interesting. Is any sick among you, call for the elders, they'll come and anoint you with oil, and it'll heal you, and your sins will be forgiven. God repeatedly ties forgiveness of sin with the power of God to heal. Amen. Understand, often condemnation will keep the healing power of God from you. Well, I just don't feel like I'm worthy to be healed. Or if you're in this church, because you know that's not true, I don't feel like I've sought God enough to have my faith high enough to be healed. I don't feel like, you know, I've been in the Word enough or prayed enough or fasted enough to be healed. The devil always puts that carrot in front of you and says, if you just do these many more things, you can access it. And he always, you know, keeps it just a step ahead of you. Well, you should have prayed 5 hours instead of 4. Should have fasted 3 weeks instead of 2. You have rights to healing now, no matter what you do. The other thing is just build your faith. Tell the devil to shut up. Condemnation steals people's expectation of healing. Whether you realize or not, when the devil tells you that you didn't pray enough or you weren't in the Word enough or didn't fast enough, that is condemnation. Subtly camouflaged. Tell it to go. You have a right. Well, you know, because of my weight, I've got these problems and I can't get healed before that. Where's that say that in the Word? Amen. God may call you to deal with some issues, but don't let that steal the healing promise from God, of God for you. Because of my age, I've got these issues. We've already touched on that one. Never confess how old you are. Confess how young you are. I told Mike the other day we were working. I said, Mike, take a break. Don't try to keep up with me because I'm working, because I will go all night. And I will. In fact, that night, I went home. I was up till 3:15. As I lay down, I said, God, why am I still awake? He said, you told him you'd work all night. Father, I repent for those words right now in Jesus' name. I did. That's the exact conversation I had. Told Patty about it. I refuse to confess age. Amen. Nowhere in Scripture does it say because you're a certain age, your body should break down. In fact, aging is a result of the curse. We have a right to speak it reversed. Amen. And we're all working at advancing in this, right? If we commit as sins, they're forgiven, lets us access more of the healing power. Go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, let's start at verse number 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Now, why do you suppose they were there? Probably to find fault. A few probably had right motivations, but the rest were trying to find something against him. And the power of God, power of the Lord, was present to heal them. Oh, glory to God. And behold, men brought in a man, brought in a bed, a man that was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. They ripped up the roof. Amen. And when he saw their faith, plural. Whose faith did he see? Their faith. Now I'm sure the man in the bed was probably hollering, get me to Jesus too. But that the foremen were willing to rip up the roof, Jesus saw that as a step of faith. So let me get this. This is not addressed toward anybody here, so y'all forgive me in advance. Four men are going to rip up a roof to let a man down for healing, to seek out the power of God to heal, and you can't get to church because you feel kind of yucky. Which one is demonstrating faith for healing? Well, you're not Jesus. No, but the presence, the power of God to heal is the power of God to heal. And faith manifests that power. You remember where the woman with the issue of blood, she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and Jesus felt virtue go from him? Faith draws on the power of God. You know, we put up in this church that banner, had it put up a long time ago, expect miracles. When you come here, I want you to expect miracles. Why? Because I want you to expect miracles. Because expectation places a demand on the anointing. If people come to a prophetic conference, they expect the prophetic to manifest, and it will come forth. We come on Friday night prayer, we expect God to pray through us. Here comes the power of God to heal. I mean to pray in the Holy Ghost. Boom, there it is. I mean at high levels. We expect the caffeine anointing. Boom, there it is. And you can place a demand on the healing power of God by expectation represented by the steps you'll take to get to it. See, here's how this works. I could be lined up to teach a message on the end times. I could have been up half the night taking care of other challenges. I may have felt like I don't have enough anointing on me to blow my nose heartily. Of course, that would never happen. I'm just saying for this example. But if somebody takes radical steps to come in here for healing, healing will drop on me. Why? Because somebody's faith placed a demand on it. So Jesus saw their faith because they're willing to take extraordinary steps to get to that power. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." He wanted healing, but he told him his sins were forgiven. Why would he do that? Because many times you've got to get through the condemnation to get somebody positioned to receive the healing. I'm sure the Pharisees and doctors of the law had already told him, you have that palsy because, you know, you've let God down somewhere in the past. God's got a curse on your family or generational curse, and you've got to carry this. And Jesus cut through the whole thing and says, your sins are forgiven. Why? He had to get him in expectation for full manifestation of that healing. Amen. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Amen. How many know you can? You've been given that authority to do that. Not to remit them, but to forgive them. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, "What reason you in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk.' But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power over on earth, hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He saith unto the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto you, arise and take up thy couch and go to thine house.' And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed." So he deals with the sin issue. Then he deals with the palsy issue. And the man goes totally restored to his house, totally healed. But the amazing statement Jesus makes is this, which is easier to say, "Your sins be forgiven you, arise and walk." And then he said the other. And the point he was trying to make, he said, one's not any harder to say than the other one. See, it's amazing, we'll lead people to Jesus. Have you ever led anybody to Jesus? And you have them say the sinner's prayer, they sincerely receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you tell them, according to the Word of God, your sins are forgiven. You're a new creation. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. They may say, "Well, I don't feel saved," but the Word says you're saved. You don't have a problem saying that. But what about the person that can't walk? Amen. You get the same promise of healing as you do in salvation. And the Lord's trying to make it clear to us, if you just believe, you can say one or the other. It'll have the same impact. be thou made whole. Rise up and walk. I say unto thee, damsel, arise, raise the dead. It's a matter of the words being spoken and our faith connecting to the words. And here again, we repeatedly see God tying salvation to the promise of healing. The truth is, it's God's will that all be saved. And it's God's will that all saved be healed. And the two really were meant to be inseparable if we'll just believe for it. We should believe for healing as well as salvation. And fight for healing like we do for salvation. If somebody comes to you and says you're not saved, you'll fight with them verbally, right? I am too saved. The Word says, you'll quote chapter and verse. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. I believe my heart, confess with my mouth, I shall be saved. I mean, you just downright debate it. But the devil says, you're sick. Oh, well, I just feel bad. You got to get into a no-holds-barred fight with the devil over these things. And refuse for him to steal your health. I have confessed since I've been saved, really all my life, I don't get sore. People will work, and even when they're young, talking about, oh, I'm so stiff and sore. I'd say, I don't get stiff and sore. I've always spoken that. Been working this physical stuff for 2 weeks now, and 3 days heavy this week. I don't know, 10-hour days at least, on top of what I was doing before I got here. And the other night I got home, took a shower and sat down, and I went to stand up and I went, ah. And I heard this voice say, you're all sore because all the work you're doing. I said, shut up, devil, I don't get sore. Start stomping around, glory to God. Body, you're not going to play that game. Well, we don't receive all that. Either our youth renewed or it's not. Let's just agree with the Word. Amen. I've been bad sore 2 or 3 times in my life. When I was young, I rode horses a lot. Had my own horse. We had horses. Granddad had horses. From the time I was 12 years old, I was on horseback. And almost always bareback. We'd ride saddle some, but we just throw a bridle and we'd just take off. And I developed the muscles on the inside of my legs to hold on to the horse. You know what I'm talking about. And my, you could grab with those legs. And then I went, I don't know, probably 10 years old, or 10 years didn't ride. Maybe longer. And somebody let me ride their horse. And I rode that horse bareback using those same old muscles. And the next day I couldn't hardly walk. Those muscles had gone dormant, got reawakened. The other thing I did is I played football a lot growing up. Not professionally, but I grew up in Alabama. We played football all the time. Moved to Tennessee. That was football. We played football. I mean, you got a group of guys together, you played football. And did a lot of kicking, a lot of passing, and we'd play football out at, we had church picnics at Frankfort, and we'd play big football games. And one day I got into a game, I just started kicking a lot. I bet I kicked 100 footballs. I mean, I was doing all the kickoffs, all the punts, kicking in between just for fun, just seeing how far we could kick. And those muscles woke up. And Patty had to roll me over in bed. I was so sore. Other than those two accounts, maybe it's happened twice with football, I don't know. I don't think I've ever been any way sore in my life. Other than just barely. And you don't have to receive that. Tell pain to shut up. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word. Seal it in our hearts, reminds our understanding.